Lopez. Trustee Finney.
Present. I'd like to now, we have legal and personnel matters to discuss, and so
I'd like to entertain a motion to recess into executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Been properly moved in a second. Roll call.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Montez.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. Meeting is called back to order.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Montez.
Yes.
Trustee Sutton.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Now, we're at item A, presidential conduct.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Board of Trustees of Chicago State University approve and authorize the Chair of the Board and Secretary of the Board to execute the written contract between the Board and Dr. Wayne Watson prepared by the Board's attorney as directed on April 29, 2009.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved in second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Montez.
Yes.
Trustee Sutton.
Present.
Trustee Finney.
Yes, so order. We're now on the previous meeting minutes.
I move that the previous minutes be approved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved in second that the previous meeting minutes be approved.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Montez.
Yes.
Trustee Sutton.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. Now we're at the point of election of Board of Trustees Secretary. You have ballots. Please submit your ballots.
I'll just make a comment if I can about this, Dr. Finney. According to the statute, there are two officers that the board is supposed to have, a chair and a secretary. There are others that you have by bylaw. But with the resignation of a trustee, the secretary position is open, and so you're filling this for the unexpired term of the current, the past secretary. The statute also requires that these officers be elected by secret ballot, so you need a nomination, and then if no other nominations close, and then balloting, and I'll collect them and report.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I nominate Trustee Betsy Hill, Secretary of the Board.
Any other nominations? Is there a motion to close the nominations on that one name?
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Vote, then I'll collect them.
I don't have a ballot.
We don't have them either yet. He's passing them out.
Somebody.
It might be in the back of your material.
It is.
It's in the back of the packet.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to announce that Betsy Hill has been elected as Secretary of the Board to fill the unexpired term of the past Secretary.
Thank you very much. Now we're at the point item D, tuition for FY 2010.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
The Tuition and Fee Committee met to make recommendations for a tuition and mandatory fee increase to begin in the fall. That is the resolution that is in the packet. It recommends an 8.9% increase to new freshmen and transfer undergraduate students, 8.9% increase to returning students not under the tuition guarantee program, as well as an 8.9% increase to graduate tuition, plus over a three-year period, committee recommends the elimination over a three-year period of the credit hour differential between the undergraduate and graduate tuition rates. Currently, it is less expensive to take graduate level courses at Chicago State than undergraduate courses. The committee recommends an additional $15 per credit hour on graduate tuition over and above the 8.9% increase as the first of a three-step process to remove the differential in those rates. In addition, 8.9% recommendation for doctorate of education and educational leadership, an 8.0% increase to pharmacy as recommended by that college under their pro forma, and a 2% essentially cost of living related increase on the mandatory fees. The committee also had recommended maintaining the 2x rate for out-of-state tuition, but recommended that there be a task force that look at this early in the fall to examine this more holistically. And that also was recommendation and information on it was in the packet for the Finance Audit and Facilities Committee. The board had requested additional information on affordability, which was provided on a one-page document that was passed out at the last board meeting, but is also in the current board book. So in the section on the tuition recommendation of the last page is that sheet. And if you'd like, I could take a moment to just explain that. Is that all right? Okay.
Sure.
What we have in this table is we wanted to show the tuition increase recommendation in conjunction with what we estimate will be a fee situation going forward for the next 4 years. Undergraduate students come in under a guaranteed program. We also know that the Pell grants are going to be increasing. And the footnotes actually explain this. We have the maximum Pell award is $4,731 currently, will be $5,350 for the 2009-2010 year. What this table attempts to show is that under the four-year normal trajectory for a full-time undergraduate student, over that four-year period, because tuition remains at the level when they enter, they would be $7,481 in each of those years, because the mandatory fees go up by and large on a cost of living basis, we're requesting 2% for this year, projecting 3% for the out years. And then we see below the Pell grants. We know that the Pell maximum Pell award will be $5,350 for year one, $5,550 for year two, and then the plan for Pell is that it will increase at the CPI rate plus 1%. So doing that math, we see that over the course of 4 years, the cost of the education for these categories with a student with a maximum Pell grant will actually decrease. During the course of the four-year period, the Pell grant we project will increase a total of $1,249. If you compare the bottom lines, the net cost after Pell grant between the current and year one, you see that there is an increase of $14 for the year. If you then look at the difference between the current and year two, the $3,227, which is the bottom line for current, compare that to the $3,074 for year two, you see that by year two, under the guarantee program, there's actually a decrease of $153 in the total expense net of a maximum Pell. And then as you go all the way out, by the time you're to year four, the difference between the current and that $2,714 number all the way at the end is a favorable $513 to a full-time undergraduate student under the tuition guarantee program.
Are there any questions on this?
Do we, what are the projected tuition and fee increases of the other universities?
Not all of the other institutions have acted yet. At Northeastern, the board has approved an 11.4% increase. At Eastern, the board has approved a 9.75% increase. I heard yesterday that Southern is doing a 9% increase, but I have not been able to confirm that independently. Some of the other institutions have not yet acted.
Let's just, are there other questions? Well, here's the thing. What if a student does not get a Pell Grant, then what?
Student financial aid is...
What percentage, let me put this another way, what percentage of our students get the traditionally get the Pell Grant?
Okay. We have financial aid. Is there a representative from financial aid today?
Let me just tell you what my concern.
Yes, sir.
What you're really saying is that the tuition increase would be absorbed by the Pell Grant. That's essentially what you're saying.
Yes.
And the issue that I have, given the fact that we're in the middle of a recession, I want to try to make sure that we are not taxing the students who are already overtaxed in terms of trying to make sure that they have adequate funds to pay for their tuition. So that's why the question is, normally the thing or the thought would be to try to minimize a negative impact on the students. So if we have no idea of what percentage of our students are going to be affected with respect to the Pell Grant, then it's hard for me to think that we won't be putting a burden on students in this these difficult days.
I don't have those percentages here, and I apologize, I can't get those for you, but there is a combination of Pell Grants, MAP, and loans, and we do have that data. We do know those percentages. The percentages of students that receive Pell Grants is quite high, and the percentages of ones that are using loans are lower. Again, I can get that for you, but I don't have that in my notes with me today.
And then the other thing, of course, is that this trajectory that you're talking about with the Pell Grant, the assumption is that the Pell Grant is going to be at this level for 4 years. What do we have to support the your assumption here? Is there something from a government body that says that for 4 years the assumption that the Pell Grant will grow and therefore will mitigate any tuition increase to the students?
Yeah,
what document do we have for that?
Again, I would have to defer to Financial Affairs for the source document. What we know from that is that the Pell amounts for this current year and the next year are set. Those are the ones identified
for the
in the footnote. They are set. As you have in your table there for the first and second year, those are known. Then beyond that, what the government has said is that they want to have Pell be CPI plus 1%. So what we did in our analysis was to assume a 3% rate and then added the 1% on top of that, because that is what the government said is the plan for Pell going forward. But they've only announced dollar amounts for the year coming and the next year.
My point is, when you say, is this a verbal announcement or is there something that we've received in writing?
I have to defer to financial aid for the source document.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't doubt the veracity of what you're saying, but you're asking us to take a leap of faith here for 4 years and approve a tuition increase now that would be projected for 4 years, and then we don't know what the potential negative effect might be on the students without additional documentation. So that's my concern, and especially given the barometric economy that we're in right now.
Well, what we do know, sir, is that the difference in the current year from the proposal and the current Pell number, which is known and is announced, is $14. That's an annual number. We also know that in the years going forward, that Pell will increase, but we know that the increase that would be affected on these full-time undergraduate students under the guarantee program would be limited to the increase in the mandatory fees. And the mandatory fee increase for this year is $22 in total, annual.
Is anyone from Student Affairs that wants to weigh in on this to further, Dr. Johnson?
I don't have that data in front of me right now, but I can get it.
Dr. Westbrook, you?
We can control the impact on students if
it held us. Well, it's a pleasure to board.
So then should we wait until we get the additional information?
Well, I'll say this out loud. I think what you're saying is that if Pell doesn't pan out the way you project, that to a certain extent the university can control the impact on students by the setting of fees.
Yes,
is
sir.
That what you're
Yes,
saying?
Sir. Yes, sir. And that because the most material, the tuition piece, is guaranteed, what we would be talking about if Pell ended up tracking differently from what we're projecting, it would be a reduction in the savings in the favorable number to students in the out years. It would not create a greater need for them to obtain loans.
So even if Pell doesn't pan out, there is a tool that the board can implement to reduce the long-term impact on the students.
Well, yes.
The other thing I heard is that the year two fee Pell grant award has been announced. And
yes.
If you assume the worst case, which is that the Pell grant stayed the same, then the student is still going to be better off than they currently are over the 4 years.
By $153.
Doesn't address the question of the percentage of students that aren't covered by this and that would be potentially negatively impacted by the tuition.
It is a high percentage of students that is eligible. It is well over 50%. And I think materially higher than that. I don't have the exact percentage to give you, but it is a significant percent.
What's the pleasure, board?
Well, you've indicated 11% for one institution that you know, 9%,
yes.
And then you've made this case. I move adoption of the report.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and second. Let me say this. I'd like to be able to think that if this third year projection is not activated, that we have a way of revisiting this.
Yes.
Because at this moment, according to your representation, the only period of time that we can pretty much be assured that there will be no negative impact as it relates to a cost increase on the students is for academic year 2009-2010, 2010-2011, right?
Yes.
But for 2011-12 and 2012-13, this is an assumption. And so I'd just like to have in the minutes this matter may need to be reconsidered for the academic year 2011-2012 because we don't have a hard and fast document that supports the tuition increase and that really supports the Pell Grant increase.
Yes.
Right.
And sir, if I may, another thing that the board certainly can do and the administration is examine the potential for providing some financial aid, additional financial aid for students from within university resources. It would require, you know, a reallocation, a thorough budget examination at that time, but other institutions have sought to do this to provide some of their operating fund in student support, and that is certainly another option that would be available to the university in those out years in the event that a worst-case scenario did materialize.
Yeah, I'm not offering an amendment. What I'm simply saying is this is to the board that this matter may need to be reconsidered, given we have no real clue as to how this economy is going to play out, and whether or not 2011 and 2012 or 2012 or 2013 are going to be realized. And my concern ultimately is to make sure that the students don't have an additional burden placed upon them.
Roll call.
Dean Justman, before we call roll, could you just talk a little bit about where those fee dollars will go, just so you know I can have an idea of what the new fee dollar, well, the increase in fee dollars will go towards students?
Well, the mandatory fees are fees that are used for various categories of expenditures, including, remember that the university this year had first implemented a technology fee. We were the last Illinois public university to do so.
And that was 100, and with this 2% increase, it'll be $102 now?
Yes, that's correct, sir. And there is also the facilities fee that was implemented this year. It's the same amount. It has to do with the need to backfill operations and maintenance expense for this building that we are sitting in now, because we were fortunate to receive the building but no money to operate it on a recurring basis. The other categories of mandatory and fees include fees to support, I believe, the student health service, as well as the student activities budget and the am I leaving out? Oh, an athletics fee, of course. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Montez.
Yes.
Trustee Sutton.
No.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Should I move on to the next item, sir?
Yes.
Okay. The next item is the tuition waiver budget. The waiver budget is built on the projection for a tuition increase. So this one was drafted based on the proposal of the 8.9% increase. And so the numbers were factored in to do that. There are two categories of waivers. There are the discretionary waivers, and then there are the mandatory. The mandatory, by definition, we can't control, but what we do is seek to do a projection and what we think that mandatory waiver number might be based upon looking at the actuals, the historical, from the prior year, and then applying the board-approved tuition increase factor to that. What we have then is with these waivers, of course, is a foregone income to the university, and for that reason, we always bring this forth to the board. Last year in 2009, the total tuition waiver budget was $1,405,000. The proposal this year is for $1,590,000. This is a 13% increase. We just had an 8.9% tuition increase recommended by the board. But then also there was an increase in mandatory categories based upon the actuals from the current year. The material comparison number, the undergraduate mandatory waiver budget is $200,000. In 2009, it was $162,000. So that's the reason for the change over and above the 8.9%. Tuition number that was just approved.
This says it's exclusive of veterans grants and national. NPR grants. Could you explain that?
Yes. The university, Chicago State and other Illinois public universities, too, have had this unfunded mandate for a number of years on veterans grants. We are required to give free tuition to veterans by the state, but the state in the past, and I'm talking about now several years past, the state would cover these. They would pay for those tuition costs. The state began several years ago funding only a portion of that based upon their available resources, and the universities were made to absorb the differential. That amount has swelled to the neighborhood of $600,000 to the university. Now, the reason why that was exclusive of this piece here, but I wanted to note it so that you, as you are, that you are aware of it, is that the this is a real cost to the university. Now, there's some good news. The good news is that the federal government is planning to provide dollars to help the state, along with the state, dollars to fully fund this category. If that happens, then that will be very favorable for us and the other Illinois publics. I wanted to just say also that Chicago State University is in a situation where we do have pro rata, a higher number of veterans here on our campus than on the other campuses. So this will be very helpful to us if the federal government does in fact follow through on this program.
Any more questions? What's the will of the board?
I move that we approve the tuition waiver budget as presented.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next item, sir, is the fiscal year 2011 operating and capital request. There's actually two steps in this process by which the board gives authority to the university to approach the Illinois Board of Higher Education on an annual basis to make requests for operating funds, which would be recurring incremental funds to the budget of the university, as well as a capital request for funding through the state capital bill. This would be separate and apart from the stimulus program that is available for this coming year. The board at the meeting here in the spring normally grants authority for the university to begin to prepare this request to the IBHE. We send the request to the IBHE at the beginning of October. So there is an opportunity each year in the September board meeting for revisions to be made. And I wanted to just make that point because although we have the request here from the university, there will be an opportunity, of course, for the new administration to make changes to this for approval at the September meeting. The request is for an operating increase of $8.4 million. The salary increase component within this request for new funding from the state is 3%. That's based on kind of a cost of living number, and we do put a salary increase number in the request each year. And then all,
pardon me, on yes, the salary increase, is that per our collective bargaining contract?
That would be for the entire university, yes. It would include everything. And this is the request for incremental funding to help support whatever the salary program might be. This does not define the salary increase program. It defines our request from to the state for incremental money to help support a salary increase program.
I understand, yes. But I'm just trying to make sure that this salary increase is also driven, or is it driven by the collective bargaining agreement that we have in place?
The collective
bargaining? Yes or no?
No, because we don't have agreements with all of our unions. Some of the agreements are expiring.
I didn't say agreement. You didn't say grievance, did you? You said
no, agreements. The union agreements. Some are expiring and some are not currently, we don't currently have contracts.
the 3% sufficient to cover the contracts and the salary increases that are provided for in the contracts that are in place?
Our last contract year for our largest union, UPI, is for this current year that's coming, the 2009-2010. That's a 3.5% increase. This is a request for 2011, and we don't have a contract in place for that year.
Thank you for clarifying that.
In your document, of course, is a list of the breakdown of the different items, and then there's a brief explanation of each of these. Most of these you've seen in before. This list is very similar to the list that we've had for a number of years, because the state has not been in a position for a number of years to help fund any of these new programs. So most of these are multi-year requests. The other point I might just make, if I may, very quickly, about on the capital side, is we are hopeful that we will receive funding from the state to complete the renovations of Douglas Hall. That's at $19+ million request. But what I've done here in the 2011 is the number one item is the escalation of the Douglas Hall renovation. That's the $20,300,000 number. And it's here only in the event that we were not successful in receiving money to complete the Douglas Hall renovation in fiscal year 2010. But we are hopeful that that will happen. Yes?
Dean Justman, this isn't a question about the capital projects. It's a question about the salary increases. Will hourly workers be affected by this increase or not? You have your student workers. How does their compensation go up, or when does it go up for hourly workers like student aides and things like that?
Yeah.
So it's not any. It's only financial aid driven.
And many of our students. I was just going to make reference to the work study program.
Yeah.
The federal work study program is how many of the students are paid for their services.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, given that we don't really need to make a decision until September, and that we will have a new president and new maybe some new thoughts, and you know, as Dr. Justman has pointed out, our needs have been pretty consistent over the years, so they may not change. On the other hand, I think we might be well advised to hold off until our September meeting on this.
Is that a motion to defer?
Yes.
There's a motion to defer this matter until our September meeting. Is there a second?
A second.
It's been properly moved and second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next item under G would be the economic stimulus package. This would be the board resolution relative to the request for stimulus funding that was proposed or was presented to the board at a prior board meeting by Dean Lindsay of the College of Arts and Sciences. This I understand is the list also that was shared with Senator Trotter, and it is a funding request under the stimulus money for $176.2 million. If I may, I want to just provide some information to the board very, very briefly. I did attend a week ago a meeting of administration vice presidents from all of the Illinois public universities with representatives from the governor's office. We did talk at great length at that meeting about the stimulus money and the reporting requirements relative to it. Two pieces I'd like to share with the board that came out of that I thought were very important. The first piece had to do with the request for new buildings. Some of the universities present at the meeting expressed the concern that if they were successful in obtaining money to build new buildings under the stimulus program, that they were concerned that they wouldn't have a recurring O&M budget from the state to operate those buildings. And for that fear, at least one university indicated that it intended not to apply for some of these new buildings. But what ended up happening with that is that the governor's people became very much engaged then in that conversation and were taking those concerns back. One of the points that was made was that it's the current administration is not able to commit governors and legislatures in the future and their budgets. I took the opportunity to make the case for our university that if the legislature were able now to help provide funding for O&M for our new buildings, that our university, and of course then the others, would be in a better position to be able to partner with the state in providing O&M in the future, should the state benefit, as we would all like, from these stimulus monies. So all of this information is being taken back. The other piece that I wanted to just mention as an information item is that because the stimulus money comes with the requirement that the budgets of higher education not be decremented, we were told that we would not be under the threat of a mid-year rescission next year. And although we still don't know what the budget is going to be, ultimately that's going to be approved for the new year, we don't know that yet. But once we do have that number, it will be very helpful to the university to be able to go into fiscal year 2010 and operate from that planning perspective without the fear of a mid-year rescission that otherwise could really confound our operation, as it has done in years past, as you well know.
I would like to compliment the staff on being able to go through and point out the priorities to be considered for the stimulus funding package. I think they've done a very good job in terms of focusing on the specific issues that are pertinent to us.
Any more comments? What's the board's will?
I would like to move acceptance of
the motion.
Of the stimulus package proposal.
It's been properly moved in a second.
Yes. Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Approval of contracts over $25,000.
In your board packet, you have each one of the contracts. The first one is Advanced Measurement Technology, and it's for $41,372.50.
Any questions on the part of, you want to elaborate on this at all?
No,
or?
I think it's.
Well,
it's
this is one that I've vetted already with
yes.
you. Right. I think on all of these, save the Chicago Park District. I don't remember this one.
Chicago Park District.
Did we meet on this one?
No, I don't believe we did. This one is out of continuing ed. We provide gymnastic and tumbling program for the park board. And so the amount for the services between September of 08 and March 14th of 09 only are $37,811.
That's what we get from CP Park District? That's what
yes.
we get from the Park District?
No, that's what we pay them because it's per child.
What's our benefit?
Have,
that's my question.
I believe that.
What is
What's
our benefit
question?
For having this program here on campus?
We have a large cooperative with the Chicago Park District.
My issue with this, and it'll be reflected in my vote. My issue with this is that when I first came here, that place where the Chicago, that whole tumbling thing is taking place, that used to be an additional gym. It used to be an additional gymnasium, yeah.
Right.
Well.
Located in RBC, but when RBC,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, it's now closed.
Yeah.
Given that we were, we already had a contract with them, we could not violate that contract.
Mm-hmm.
So another venue was provided, which was the small gym.
Yeah, just to, you know, just to finish off, thank you, Dr. Westbrook. My point was that when we brought that program over into JDC, we lost the ability for students to have an additional place where they pay fee dollars to use the JDC, and then it became an issue of we're not having the adequate time we need for our open facilities. And I've always been a vocal proponent of having open facilities, so you know, I don't support the program, but the other trustees may.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I think we're going to consider these in order and require a vote, right, on each one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to skip around rather than address these in order.
I
yeah.
thought we
I'm sorry,
make
I,
it
yeah,
point.
But I,
the park
I was tr- what I was trying to say, and we sort of got beyond my thinking, was to say that some of these contracts were before the Finance and Audit Committee, and I met with the staff, the president, to go over them, and I was trying to get from Attorney Nancy Hill Walker those contracts that I had, in fact, reviewed, but it was no intent to have us go out of sequence. So here we are at this particular point on the advanced measurement technology.
So the Finance Committee has reviewed
yes.
and
yes.
processes.
Yes, and that's the one that I did review.
Then I would move that we approve this contract.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
A second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
For clarification, which contract are we voting on?
Advanced measurement.
Okay, yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. So ordered. And now we have item two, Chicago Park District / Gymnastics Tumbling Program at $37,811.
Move adoption of the contract.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Oh, I'll second it.
It's been properly moved and second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Present.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
No.
Trustee Finney?
President? No.
But you see, I think you're really making a mistake because you're talking in terms of community outreach, community
and you say
involvement.
Students bring their children?
Yes.
That allows
I mean,
them to attend class while their children are engaged
deny?
In productive activities?
This really
and
does.
Also, it's a viable component
that's
of
right.
the options program.
Right.
Because the options program, which is under continuing education, it offers tumbling and
you
know,
Dr. Westbrook, why don't you, you might want to, if
Dr.
this
Westbrook,
is
Dr. Westbrook, I would also add,
you might wanna, if you're going to speak, I think
I just
it is
spoke
good.
At a university this past Sunday commencement, which is known to house single mothers who are allowed to live on campus with their children so they can get an education. And it was heartening to hear these women's stories about how, one, their children were exposed to a college campus early on in life,
mm-hmm.
and what the program did for them as single parents allowed them. This brings young kids to a campus environment early on that it puts that mentality in their head, in addition to helping students have essentially babysitting facilities and engaging their children in productive activities while they're able to go to school.
Precisely.
All right.
And we know that space is an issue. I'm very sensitive.
You can appreciate
to Mr.
my standpoint.
Yes, because
we've
had this conversation before. But at the same time, we know that space continues to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And until we have renovated RUC, it's going to continue to be an issue. But in the meanwhile, if we are serious about our recruitment efforts, we must look at all the resources. And I think that that is a viable one because it does allow us to bring the youth on this campus and to get them interested in pursuing potentially degrees here at Chicago State.
Can you just tell me how many children are accommodated in this program?
I don't have that information, and I don't think the dean for continuing education is here. But if that's something that you'd like me to provide at a later date, I can.
Well, actually, it does have this. I'm sorry.
Look in your material. It is stated.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, the associate dean.
The associate dean is here. She can speak to that.
Could you come up, associate dean?
Nellie Maynard is her name. It is in here.
Please identify your associate dean yourself, please.
My name is Nellie Maynard. I'm the assistant dean of continuing education. Regarding the gymnastics program, we have at least 500 to 700 students coming throughout that program. The program has grown. The program is from Tuesday through Saturday. And you spoke about not having use. We are in agreement with that. And we have
and
provided.
That's where my
we have
comes.
Provided days and hours for that room. It's not solely the Chicago Park District anymore.
On Mondays,
it's open completely after a certain hour. Before 2 o'clock, students can go in. After 8 o'clock, they can go in.
I've been here for a number of years, and I'm not going to sit here and belabor this. I've already made my stance on it. But that room over there. When I first got here, we used to be able to be in that room 12, 13 hours a day. Students were able to be in there. When the gymnastics program came, I was told that it was off limits. It's been filled with tumbling equipment. And so that's what it is. And so that's where my position on it comes from. And so I just don't think it's
been
beneficial
changed.
To the students who pay those athletic
college
fees.
Students are in there. I've seen them in there. It is open. Yes, it has the mats and all of the equipment there, but some of the PE students go in there for various reasons.
Okay.
And so it is a viable program in terms of the community.
Mm-hmm. Based on that information, Mr. Chairman, I am willing to support the proposal.
So let's then let's call them roll again. So since it was interrupted, let's start from the beginning.
Trustee.
Can we do that? Wait a minute, Mr. Crowley.
I think just to be correct, you ought to
move to reconsider.
Yeah.
I got it. I have it. Right. To move to reconsider the previous vote, which never completed. It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and we reconsider the previous motion. All in favor by roll call.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Montez.
Yes.
Trustee Sutton.
No.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. Now, let's have the vote on the main body of the resolution, which is Chicago Park District / Gymnastics Tumbling Program.
I move to adopt.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and second. Are you ready to vote? Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Definitely yes.
Trustee Sutton?
A simple no.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. The College Pharmacy Program?
The College Pharmacy Program is entering into an agreement, asking the board to enter into an agreement with the UIC for their drug information group. They have the faculty at UIC, and they also have the staff with experience and expertise to provide CSU with instructional services for the pharmacy program. So that's what this contract is for. It's in the amount of $31,200, and it'll be paid in increments.
Okay.
But there, in addition to the resolution, we would ask the board to also sign the agreement, which I have approved as its legal form.
Is there anyone from the pharmacy program
yes.
that can
Dr.
elaborate
Slatton.
On
that? Dr. Slatton? Or
just kind of like to know what this is all about, what
sure.
the program will do.
morning. Miriam Mobley Smith, Associate Dean at the College of Pharmacy.
Morning.
It pleases me to come here to talk about this program because it's a unique and innovative partnership between the faculty at the University of Illinois College of Pharmacy and Chicago State University College of Pharmacy. What it does is it provides the expertise of not only one faculty member there, but a group of 8 faculty members who have been engaged in teaching the drug information, literature evaluation, and evidence-based medicine course there, as well as additional entrepreneurial activities that focus on safe drug use. And we have been in conversation about this potential collaboration for some time and finally solidified the details, where indeed, instead of having one faculty member here at Chicago State who would be a Chicago State faculty member, teach a course where we would all engage a number of the other faculty in pharmacy practice in its delivery. Instead, we would be able to utilize the vast resources of UIC in this particular area and also look for some future opportunities in terms of cross-campus teaching, cross-campus research, and so on. So this is the beginning of a very dynamic process.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of the Assistant Dean? If not, what's the pleasure of the board?
I move that we approve the contract.
It's been second moved. Is that second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee Sutton?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next minor is the student health insurance program.
This is a binder with the current insurance company, Aetna, which is a partner of Chicory Claims Administrators for the fiscal year 2009-2010. We are in the process of bidding, preparing the documents to bid this out starting in 2011. So this is just to bind us over so the students continue to have insurance throughout the fiscal year of 2009-2010.
When you say just a binder, does this mean that this is a contract that's already been enforced?
Yeah, it's a contract that's already in existence, and we're basically signing a binder saying that we want to continue it for another fiscal year.
Continue it for another fiscal year without bid? This has been competitively bid?
Well, I don't know if it was competitively bid originally, and I know Gail Cannon's here. Gail? And is Nick Tindall here?
He's here.
He can speak to the previous.
There he is back there. Mr. Tindall.
You can come to the table.
Gail,
you can come to the table.
Well, he's going to leave.
Oh, okay.
There are 2 of them.
Yes, ma'am. Please sit down and identify yourself.
I'm Gail Cannon, the coordinator of the Student Health Insurance Program.
I'm sorry.
Gail Cannon, the coordinator of the Student Health Insurance Program.
Yes, ma'am.
Your question again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm curious as to, this is a $1.6 million contract.
Yes.
And it is to determine whether or not this contract has been competitively bid. We operate within under the confines of state law, which require certain contracts to be a bid.
At this point, we are extending the contract for the 2009-10 year. We would need to go out to bid, but it's too late, actually, to go out to bid. It would take a lot of time.
At its origin, was it competitively bid? At its origin?
Nate Tindall, Director of Purchasing, yes, it was.
And when was that?
2003, my memory serves me correct on.
Yeah, I'm not going to labor through this. I'm going to ask board counsel. Here's the challenge that we have. We continue to be written up by the state auditor general about contracts that are not bid or competitively bid in accordance with the state law. And I have no concern about the veracity or the intent of any of the professionals that are making this presentation. But I would hate to have another audit exception because the board failed to ask a question such as this for a $1.6 million contract that has been extended and whether or not we are legally within the bounds of what we can do. And so, Council, what do you?
Well, you're well within the fiscal year 2009-2010 already. I mean, that started back on July 1st. So they're trying, they've already been operating and apparently had services rendered to them pursuant to this. And so at some point they're going to have to pay for the services they've been rendered. So insofar as extending a contract that they've already been operating under for months, almost, what, 10 months or something like that already.
And basically what is going to happen is we probably are going to get an audit finding because obviously the performance on the part of the vendor has already started. They've been covering our students, but there was not a contract covering them and they were continuing to provide services.
I would think that the thing to do at this point for the board would be to approve the contract, but ask that by the September board meeting there is an explanation of what happened, provided that why this wasn't acted on prior to the beginning of the fiscal year, and whether or not it can now be bid for the upcoming fiscal year beginning July 1st.
Well, let me then ask the obvious question. Why wasn't it bid when it should have been bid? Why? I mean, what happened? At some moment, you're going to have to, because this is clearly going to be one more $1.6 million audit exception that we're going to get written up for.
Okay.
So what happened?
I'm not quite sure what happened, but the position was vacated suddenly by the previous coordinator, and I was brought in as an emergency person to help out, and that was in August. So by the time I got my feet wet and learned what was going on, the bid process was already late. And so this is why it had not been.
Yeah, but that would have been, in my mind, the bid process should have begun well before August. It should have been, I suspect, 3 months or so prior to in 2000 and maybe as early as May of 2008. What happened?
I agree.
You can't answer that question.
No,
maybe
I can't.
The only person that could answer that question, Dr. Finney, is Dr. Brown, and she's not present.
Doctor?
Brown.
Okay. Dr. Brown. Okay.
Rosalyn Brown.
Right, okay.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
For the record, I started my interim presidency on the 15th of July of 2008. So just in case when this question comes back in September, there is a need to blame somebody. please note the beginning of my contract with the university. Thank you.
Well. I appreciate the audience participation, but I think that the president poll will attest to this, that in every instance,
that's true,
when there are questions of financial matters that were had origin in his predecessor's administration, I always indicated that he could take no responsibility nor be held accountable for any misdeeds or misactions or failure of the previous administration. I did that when we were in Springfield before the various committees, and I have continued to make sure that there was a wall between his predecessors, financial administration, and him, and I'm sure that he can attest to my having said that repeatedly. Am I correct?
Mr. Chair, you are correct in stating that. However, I would suggest that this time next year, the university may be experiencing negative audits, and I can attribute, I believe, some of that, which would have occurred under my administration, to the fact that we were unable to fill the position of vice president for administration and finance. And if we had filled that position, that's been vacant almost 2 years, I believe the university would have been protected for the remaining of this period, but especially during 2009. So you are correct in terms of stating that wall, and it may well have to do with protecting yourself in addition to protecting Frank Polk. So,
right, let's get on with the agenda.
We're going to call the orders of the day. We've got a matter to be voted on by our attorney has already advised us as to how to dispose of this matter, and we are here to deal with it and be mindful that I have been on this board for 3 years, and therefore much of what has happened, failed to happen, has been visited on the board. So there's no way to wash that away either. So let's move forward. And
I move that we adopt the recommendation of the board external counsel.
I would like a clarification. Okay. You would like to have a report to the board.
Mark,
September
would you restate it, please?
This is separate from the resolution. The resolution stands on its own.
Right.
The board is simply asking that it receive a written report at the September meeting about the circumstances of how this was not bid between, I think Nate said, 2003 and 2009. And I would think that